Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Good morning, Ed, here on Circles of Change. It's always a pleasure to tap into very talented people out there that are guiding all of us through developments of all sorts of kinds, in particular how to be more effective in our relationships, as well as managing our own selves and our own beliefs. So to that end, we have Dr. Les Parrott on the line. How are you this morning, Les?
I'm doing great. Good to be with you.
Absolutely. Let me do a brief introduction. Les is a clinical psychologist and New York Times bestselling author, and also co-founder with his wife, Leslie, of the Center for Relationship Development on the campus of the Seattle Pacific University. Les is an author of such books as High Maintenance Relationships, Love Talk, that he wrote with Leslie, 3 Seconds, The Hour That Matters Most, again with Leslie, and the award-winning Saving Your Marriage Before It Starts with Leslie, that also includes a workbook and is a series. Les is a sought-after speaker and holds relationship seminars across the United States. He's often featured in USA Today, The Wall Street Journal, and The New York Times. Plus, he's been on television shows such as The View, The O'Reilly Factor, CNN, Good Morning America, and The Oprah Show. So, obviously, he's going to run a great company now, including Circles of Change in that repertoire, right?
Great to put that on the list.
You got it. Add me right in there. Well, we really appreciate it. Les, your newest book now, You're Stronger Than You Think, The Power to Do What You Feel You Can't. And for those who wouldn't know, to have that right up in front of you, very on the red cover is a vice grip with an egg in it. And so I think I'd like to start with you and ask, how did you come to decide to pick that image for the cover of your book?
Well, it's, I love it that you're asking that question, because most book covers are not determined by the author. The publisher has more to do with that.
Right.
On this one, I really did want this image. I proposed it and suggested it to the publisher. They caught the vision immediately. But the whole idea here is of the, and the message of this book is that you are indeed stronger than you think. You can summon strength that you didn't know you had when you need it. And it's akin to putting this egg, this very fragile egg, you know, when we go to the grocery store and we buy eggs, we put them in a special carton, and we want to make sure they're on top of everything else. Oh, be careful, that's the bag with the eggs in it, you know. And the truth is, we know from research, an egg can withstand nearly 300 pounds of pressure when it's stood end to end. And yet we treat it like it's the most fragile thing in the world. And so this message of putting this egg and this vice is really to convey the same thing about you and me and everybody else that's listening to us, that we are indeed stronger than we think we are.
And strength, you mean here to take multifaceted of form. This isn't just resilience to get yourself out of a mess that you've seen before, or the fight or flight mechanism where, you know, you do hear stories of people who are in accidents who suddenly have the strength to rip open a car door and save a loved one, right?
Right.
I mean, it's much more multifaceted. That's what you want us to think in terms of.
Yeah, you know, the truth is, this is, I'm talking about seizing the power to do what you feel you can't, because everybody has this little seedling within them that wants to grow. We have a vision for our life. We have a call on our life. We have a out there on the horizon of our life. We see something that we'd like to obtain. And some people do that. Some people race toward it. Other people go, not today. You know, I got to wait until this happens. I got to save my money. I got to make sure this is taken care of over here, what have you. And then sometimes we just say, this is too scary. You know, I'd have to cross that abyss. I want to make that jump when I am more, you know, fit. And so we put it off. And I'm saying that if you want to grow, if you really do want to achieve your dream and that call on your life, you've got to find that strength that you didn't know you had, and that is always found outside of your comfort zone, and that's why it's scary. So in a sense, this book is really about getting outside of your comfort zone to achieve your dreams.
Well, I would say that the other thing that your book tells us to do, though, is that this is all about finding that from within,
right,
as opposed to so many people think, well, when I win the lottery, like we wouldn't all like to, perhaps, but it's something that society has to sanction, or your spouse does, or your family heritage or whatever. But this isn't about the shoulds and shouldn'ts that are outside looking in. It's what you can drive from the inside out.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it's not a book about positive thinking or just pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. This is really a book that is built on science and a lot of counterintuitive findings. What do we know for sure that really works in this area? And the suggestions are typically not what people would predict.
So I think we ought to go on that track indeed. So tell me what you mean. Give us an example right out of the chute of the counterintuitive things and the story or the research that backs that up.
Well, one of the first things that I say is that if you want to be stronger than you think you are, you've got to think simply.
Yeah.
Why? Because there's strength in clearing your head. Most of us overthink issues, mm-hmm. and that begins to literally cloud our vision. We, again, know this from research that the glucose level in our brain changes when we worry and we overthink and we start to obsess. We really, literally cloud our vision. We can't see reality as clearly. And so the first chapter of this book is dedicated to helping people really think more clearly. I use the illustration of the famous chess match and the coach that asks the player to just, you know, clear the board, you know, literally wipe off all those other pieces on the board so you can see his next move. And that's when we do begin to find strength. That's when we begin to garner some wisdom and make better choices.
Yeah, the challenge you have, you know, it's one thing to say what you just said, but then how do I go about doing that? I mean, think simply in a world where we at least are feeling like we should always be connected or multitasking or electronically leashed or whatever, but that allowing ourselves to be in the silence is so important, isn't it?
Yeah, and listen to that still small voice in the silence. And, you know, it's that the, what ends up happening, and this is so, you know, I love that you say we always feel like we got to be connected, we got to have mm-hmm. that cell phone, we got to be texting, we got to be looking at the, you know, the tweets and all the rest, because what research is showing is that we are finding people are no longer fully present.
Yeah.
And we're observers, and so we want to record, oh, I was there, but we didn't live there, you know. And so in fact, there's even a little subhead in this chapter called If the Devil is in the Details, God is in the Big Picture.
Mm-hmm.
And we lose the big picture when we obsess and when we worry and when we overthink. And we don't have that kind of conceptual view of the panorama, the landscape of our lives. And so this book, and by the way, you say, what do you do, you know, in a practical level? At the end of each section, there's three sections in this book, I put a little piece in that's literally the pages are a different color than the rest of the book, and it's called Making It Real.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have a self-test in this little section, and then some practical things you can do to leverage the power of thinking more simply, and give some real, you know, how-tos on that.
You bet. For those of you who've just tuned in, we're talking to Les Parrott, and his new book is called You're Stronger Than You Think, The Power to Do What You Feel You Can't. And if you are streaming with us now, you go out on www.lesandleslie.com or www.thestrongerbook.com to track along with us. And in fact, if you go to Stronger Book, you can also see that Les has created an online strength profile assessment. So this is the audience participation time. So you decided to, you know, drive home the learning possibilities for all of us by first allowing us some sort of an objective way to see who we are, where we are right now, right, Les?
Well, that's exactly right. There's a school of thought in psychology that says awareness is curative. Once you become aware of something, then you can begin to do something about it. And so many times we walk through our day unaware. And so with this book, I really wanted to have this online tool, and we spent as much time, if not more, a team of us researchers designing this online strength tool that we spent more time on that probably than we did the book. And I really want to encourage our listeners to check that out, because if you can take about, it's less than 10 minutes, you answer a few questions and you'll get a report on your personal strength profile and find those areas where you really do need to summon more strength that you didn't know you had.
And let's be really clear, because obviously many self-help books, when they talk about your strengths and their weaknesses, they're talking about attributes like, you know, like to give presentations or have an aptitude for communicating or you're a good influencer.
Right.
Your area of thinking here really is focusing on those three areas, just like your book is characterized, yeah. And that would be how we leverage our mind, our heart, and our soul.
Yeah. Wow, you know, I love it when an interviewer has
actually reads the book.
Yeah.
Exactly. Amazing, huh?
Yeah. I appreciate that. Yeah, this is a different kind of strength. We're talking more global strength. And, you know, the reason for that, it doesn't matter where we are in life, and I teach it on a university campus. I see this with people in their 20s, and they think, oh, you know, I'd like to do this with my life. I just don't know that I can do that. And then I counsel people in my counseling practice that are, you know, in their 50s, their 60s, and they think, oh, it's just too late in life for me to do this thing I really dreamed of. That's the kind of strength I'm talking about, is being able to, you know, go about that, walk down that path that you feel called to, and in fact, not just walk down it, but run down it with more confidence, with more power, with more strength. Because chances are, you've gotten sidelined with, you know, something you didn't expect, or you've either postponed your dream because you just thought, I don't know if I can really achieve it.
You know, Les, though, don't you find in your practice, because I encounter this constantly in mine as I coach people very pragmatically on career-related things, as well as changing in business, is the first place, though, is many people can't even say what they're called to do.
Right.
Or they're saying, okay, yeah, I get it, Les, I should start running, or you're going to quit me to run, but I'm not quite sure which track I should even be on right now.
Yeah, and that kind of goes back to this idea of clearing your head.
Exactly.
And getting some clarity on that direction for your life and listening to some wise voices around you after you've cleared your mind. But to no longer obsess about, and you get stymied when you think too much. You know, you just can't move. So
remember, you are talking to an engineer right now. So my whole life has been about overthinking everything, as well as what four possible extra trap doors should I be prepared to jump through when it still doesn't work, right? And so you're telling me, oh, just simply, you know, think simply, Zara. And then as well, I love the second one, though, and that is to think expectantly. So
yeah,
this idea of wonderment, right?
Exactly. And these are the twin engines that drives the power of your mind, you know, mm-hmm. to think simply and think expectantly. Why think expectantly? Because there's strength in anticipation. When you begin to anticipate something that's coming down the road, when you begin to visualize it and see it, you really do begin to empower hope. And hope is like the, you know, it's like oxygen for the lungs. When we have hope, we begin to, as I say in this chapter, see over the walls of our life. We no longer are you know, imprisoned by these self-defeating thoughts and beliefs that we put in our mind, these tapes that we often play.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the other side about it is just visualizing and feeling it is so that when it's there, you greet it as if it's always been there.
Yeah.
You know, I have told countless clients that are on the verge of, you know, getting an offer from a prospective company. I said, this is great. Now you should start driving that way to work every morning.
Yeah.
And in fact, why don't you go ahead and just create a business card? You know, you can power clip the logo right off the internet and start carrying it around in your folder.
Right.
And
yeah.
So, I mean, you're already there, and it's amazing how what we think about, we bring about.
Well, and it's just so sad for me to see that too many times people are not willing to take a look at that because it scares them. Again, that's like looking out beyond this little comfort zone, this little bubble that I've created here for my life. And they're going to wake up someday and regret that they never did take that step outside of it.
Well, in fact, I think we've discussed with other guests here that quite honestly, more people are afraid of success than they are failure.
Yeah,
because
so
if you get to success, it's like, uh-oh, now the bar is going to get raised higher on me again.
Yeah.
And we have to go do that. Well, okay, so the first part of the book, again, we're talking about you're stronger than you think, the power to do what you feel you can't, and go out to strongerbook.com by Les Parrott, is all about the mind. And now you shift me into, potential woo-woo part, the power of the heart.
Right. Right, and this is where it really gets interesting. And the first thing I suggest here is to feel vulnerable because there's strength in owning your weakness. And, in fact, let me mention the two together here. Again, the twin engines that drive the power of your heart. Feel vulnerable. Secondly, feel connected. when you tie those two together, vulnerability and connection with other people, you really do summon strength that you weren't aware of. And let me give you a quick example of both of these together. In fact, I dedicated this book, I don't know if you noticed this in the first page or two, I dedicated it to what I call my strength group.
Yes.
Yeah,
exactly.
And it's about eight or nine guys that I've been meeting with now for, well, close to 4 or 5 years, I suppose, here in my city of Seattle. And we meet every other Tuesday for 2 hours. Each one of these guys is a high achiever. They own their own business. One of them is a heart surgeon. Another runs a mission downtown. And all these guys have lots of pressure on them. They live in a high-paced kind of, lonely at the top kind of world. And so a few years ago, I just initiated this, and I pulled these guys together. And none of them knew each other. Pulled them together and said, I'm interested in having a group. We don't study a book. We don't necessarily talk business, per se. We talk about the 5% of our life that we don't talk about with anybody else. And that might be the top 5%, our great successes. Mm-hmm. It might be the bottom 5%, our weaknesses, our vulnerabilities, the things that scare us, our weaknesses. And that's what this group would be about. And I started with about 15 guys, and a few of them said, this isn't for me. And we got it down to about, like I said, eight or nine guys. And now we've been going strong. And none of us want to miss those mm-hmm. Tuesday lunches. Because when you are connected and you have a safe place where you're vulnerable, you begin to rise above your weaknesses like you never have before.
But you know that you introduced the S word, and that is safety.
Yeah.
And you know, in a world where we're purportedly supposed to already know it all beforehand, to be able to say we don't and then go after it without judging ourselves for not knowing it.
Right.
That's that power then of, but now you connect that with the heart, and that is the idea that that really that is about that connection, that people-centeredness side, not just individual-centeredness.
Yeah, that's right. Because what happens is vulnerability begets vulnerability. And so, I make part of my living, I make traveling around the country and giving seminars, and I speak to large groups, thousands of people and so forth at a time. And I remember in my strength group a few months back, I said I was in St. Louis or somewhere, and I had this strange experience, and I said I felt so insecure. Here I do this all the time. It's in my wheelhouse, and yet I was feeling so insecure because of a particular person in the audience. Mm-hmm. And I discovered out of a room full of a couple thousand people, I was just speaking to this one guy that I knew. And I started feeling so inadequate, and that's something, of course, I'm not going to share with very many people. And I brought it home to my strength group, and I said, guys, this is the weirdest thing. I felt like I had just gotten behind the microphone for the first time in my life, blah, 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 and I kind of put this out there. And one of the other guys in the group that is incredibly successful said, man, he said, I thought I was the only one. I was in the boardroom the other day.
Exactly.
The same way. You know, and so that vulnerability, when people begin to open up and you go, oh, I'm not alone.
Right.
Oh, you find strength in that, you know, and that's why I say it's the power of the heart when we connect our hearts together, you know, and we don't only just link our shoulders together, but we link our hearts together. There's real power.
That's wonderful. So we have the first section again was leveraging our mind. The next was the power of the heart. And then the real one that really ties it together is that power of the soul.
Yeah, and this is where it starts to get deep because in this, and again, by the way, most of this is counterintuitive. You know, you want to think more simply. You don't think about, oh, that's how I'll get strong. I'll think more simply.
Simply, right.
And, I'll get more strong by being more vulnerable.
Vulnerable.
You know, in fact, I was speaking in South Central LA, believe it or not, to some guys that ran a gang. I'm talking about real gang stuff, mm-hmm. and I was talking about this vulnerability. They were not having it. They were like, that is not how you obtain strength on the street. And I don't know about that. I used to work in Los Angeles at a hospital there in a medical center. And, but this is counterintuitive. This is what you want to stiff arm and go, no, that's not how you get strength. Mm-hmm. And boy, is that true when it comes to the power of your soul, because here I'm talking about raising the white flag of surrender and being empty, because there is strength in surrender. When you kind of relinquish your control and go, okay, you know, I can't do this on my own. You know, I need a higher power that's going to help me tr- trudge through this, that is when you really do find strength deep, deep down in your bones. And that's why I call it the power of your soul.
And it's right on. In fact, we've often mentioned this idea that actually man's greatest addiction is thinking that he really is in control.
Yeah.
And so, as you would say, the other one is that how do you really make God laugh is think that you have a plan. Right? Like,
true.
It's yours, really? Come on.
Right.
But, this idea, though, of, everything else that we do in our lives is about controlling your emotions, controlling this, predict this, forecast that. What's the 5-year plan for this?
Right.
So you can see the counterintuitive nature of it, particularly if you would address, but wait a minute, Les, a lot of these things are what's allowed me to be as successful as I have been, however you manage success and happiness. But then there are times when we're really at that crossroads where we're saying, what served us well in the past may not be the techniques or perspectives that will in the future. And probably what you'd even ask me, the psychologist that you are, you'd say, well, take me back to a time when you did X. And lo and behold, I would probably reveal to you that I had been simply thinking more expectantly, been vulnerable, connected, and then, tried to empty out where I was at the time.
Right. Yeah, that's so true. And it's one of those things that it goes against our grain. It's just not in our nature to want to give up, to raise that white flag and relinquish that. But it leads to, finally, the last thing I suggest. It's the final chapter of this book, and that is to be bold.
And be bold, yeah.
Because there's strength in taking risks, and that's the ultimate risk, is to relinquish that control. And by the way, I should know, I wrote a book years ago, literally called The Control Freak. And I remember it was kind of a follow-up to another book I wrote called High Maintenance Relationships that had a chapter called The Control Freak. And the publisher, after I went on The View and all that kind of thing, they said, let's do a follow-up. So we decided I'd do this book called The Control Freak. I came home and told my wife, Leslie, I said, hey, I'm going to write a book called The Control Freak. She said, oh, finally, you're writing your autobiography.
And then because you also had done all the work about saving your marriage before it starts, you know that every state stayed together. Well, it's been a pleasure. We've been speaking here today with Dr. Les Parrott and his book, You're Stronger Than You Think, The Power to Do What You Feel You Can't. This is one of several in Les and Leslie's repertoire. And by all the way, remember to visit lesandleslie.com or also strongerbook.com, where you can also take the online strength profile assessment and at least get a 15-page roadmap of where to start from, right, Les? And then go forward with these 6 very tied together, counterintuitive but instructional ways to proceed. Okay, the book's been out for a few months, so tell me, what kind of reaction have you been getting so far?
Well, I'll tell you, it's been really fun. This book hit the New York Times list, which is a great achievement for any book, and that's been a real honor. And then to hear from so many people, because we have this online assessment, I hear from people because they leave comments, and it's just been so wonderful. And I love hearing that it's from any age and stage, from college students to senior citizens. And we all are striving to realize the call in our lives and dream, live out the dream for our lives and truly live boldly to find that power within us. And so it's been really encouraging. It's what I hope to achieve with this book as an author.
Well, and it's a very different book, quite honestly, Les, than the ones you've written beforehand, but I would say it's all the more timely when, again, the pace of change, the floor moving out from underneath us, again, regardless, that it's a real wonderful tool for any phase of life planning, I would call it, too.
Yeah. Wow. I love you. You're a great interviewer. I should just record what you do and we'll make a commercial.
Well, guess what? We're going to give you the podcast back and you can do with it what you will. Well, Les, one final question, of course, is you spend a lifetime out of helping others change and relationship wise and otherwise. And I'd like to ask you the question then is, how do you think you've changed by helping others change?
What a good question. I think that one of the things, we talked about vulnerability earlier, and I think that one of the discoveries, Leslie and I, since, we do so much of our work as a team, we've discovered we're really pilgrims. We're not proclaimers. Mm-hmm. And there's some people that are in the self-help business, and they stand on a pedestal, and they proclaim, here's the 3 things you need to do to help your life be different. And we really come alongside and say, here's the mistakes we've made, And maybe you can learn from us, because this is working for us here in the trenches with you. And that's one of the things I think I've learned about myself, is I'm not a proclaimer, I'm a pilgrim.
Wonderful. Well, thanks so much for sharing again. Book again for all of us to consider is You're Stronger Than You Think, The Power to Do What You Feel You Can't. Thanks so much, Les.
You bet. Great to be with you.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.